And today's daf is daf chaf dalad. So we got to the bottom of chaf gimel and beis, the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a kare b'torah, a person reads from the Torah, lo yivchos mishlosh psukim. He can't read less than three psukim. It has to be at least three psukim long, each aliyah. Lo yikare le meturgamam, yos mi pasik echar. In those locations where they read Lashon HaKodesh, then the meturgamam would read it in Aramaic, you do one pasik at a time. However, when it comes to the Navi, Mishnah says, shlosh, you're allowed to read three at a time. So Rashi writes something very interesting on the top of Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, Navi Shlosha Im Yirtzeh, if you want. You don't have to. You could do one or two or three psukim if you want for Navi at a time, and then have the Meturgman interpret them. Velo Ich Paslan Im Yiteh. We don't really care if the Meturgman makes a mistake or if the people make a mistake, they don't understand everything that's going on. Velo Nafka Mina B'Hara. There's no Halach L'Maitz that comes out of Nevi'im, so who cares if there are any mistakes? Just to get a basic storyline. So then the Mishnah says, Hayu shloshan shlosh parshios. Let's say you have an instance, the Gemara will give an example, that you have three psukim that are each parshios in their own right. Each one pasuk can be an entire parsha, because it all goes, depends on how it's broken up with the spaces. So let's say you have three psukim in a row that are three individual parshios, karen echad echad. You read one, you can't read all three together, and then the meturgamon, you have to do one independently, even though it's part of Navi. And then the Mishnah says, Medalgan Benavi, you're allowed to skip around in a Navi. We do this in Haftorah a few times. Vein Medalgan Metorah, but when it comes to reading the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to jump around at all. Viad Kamahu Medalik. And when it comes to Navi, when you jump around, how far are you allowed to jump? So the Mishnah says, Ad Kedei Shelo Yifsok HaMeturgman. Enough, the far enough that the Meturgman will not finish by the time you get to the next spot. Meaning when the Meturgman's done, you have to be at the next spot already to read. If it's further than that, and there's a few seconds where the tzibur's waiting, so after the Meturgman has finished his interpretation, so then you're not allowed to. That's considered too far away. So the Gemara wants to know, Hani Shlosha Psukim Kenegin Me. These three psukim that you have to read at least for each aliyah, what does that correspond to? So the Gemara answers, Amar of Asi, Keneged Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Keneged Tanakh, the three sections of Tanakh. So Keneged those three sections, we have three psukim. Then the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah of Lo Yikare L'Meturgman Yosim Pasuk Echad V'Navi Shlosh Pesukim V'Mahayu Shloshin Shlosh Parshios Kare Echad Echad. So that was the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, what's an example of three Parshios, three Pesukim that are three individual Parshios? So the Gemara says, quotes a Pasuk that's found, where is this? In Yeshaya, Yeshaya Perek Nun Beis. Ki Ko Amar Shem Chinam Nim Kartem. That's one Pasuk, it's a separate Parsha. And then the very next Pasuk is its own Parsha. Ki Ko Amar Shem Elokim Mitzrayim Yared Imi B'Rishonam. And then the third Pasuk, which itself is in Parsha, V'ata Mali Po Nu Mashem. So those are the three Pesukim that are three Parshios.
It says in the Torah you can't
split,
only in the
same. So the Gemara is going to address an example, but when it comes to Yom
Kippur. Fast days we...
Fast days we do skip. Right, but that's, I guess, as a separate aliyah. Right, exactly, right. Good point. The Gemara doesn't even ask that question, but I guess that would be the answer to that. So then the Gemara says, Medalgim Menavi Ve Medalgim Metorah. So you're allowed to skip in the Navi, but you're not allowed to skip in the Torah at all. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to skip in the Chumash. We're mini. Look at the mission in Maseches Yuma. When it comes to the Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol, after he completes the Avodah, then he goes to outside, he goes into the Azara, and he reads sections from the Torah. He reads Achrimos, then he jumps to Ach Besor, he jumps around there. He's skipping from one place to the next. And our mission said you can't skip at all when it comes to the Chumash. So Amar Bai explains Lo Kasher. Kan Mechdesh Yifsok HaTurgumam, Kan Mechdesh Lo Yifsok HaTurgumam. When the Mishnah says that you can't jump around the Chumash, that means you can't jump longer than it takes the Turgumam to finish. But in a situation like the case of Yom HaKippur, Machimos Tach Besor, it's not such a far scroll, so then you're allowed to skip because you're going to be getting to the next spot before the Turgumam's done. That's when it's permitted.
What's the difference with Navi then?
Ah, Gemara asks that question, very good. So Gemara says, what do you mean? V'ha, Allah Katani, when it's referring to that very Mishnah, you just pointed out, our Mishnah above, Medalgim in Navi, it says you'll have to skip in Navi, Vein Medalgim in Torah, but you can't skip in the Torah, V'ad Kama, and the Mishnah says, and how long, Hu Medalig, Ad Kadesh Shalai, so come in Turgumam, that's qualifying how far you'll have to skip in the Navi. Michlal implying, Dibet Torah Klal Klal Lo, when it comes to Torah, you can't skip at all. So that's the question. So therefore, Abai gives another answer. Elo Amar Abai explains Lo Kasha. Kan binyan echad kamishay inyanos. When it comes to one inyan, which is the example of Yom HaKippurim, Achrimos Ach Besor, both of which have to do with Yom HaKippurim, then you're allowed to skip in the Chumash. When it comes to two different inyanos, then you're not allowed to skip at all. Gemara says, Vahatanya, now this Vahatanya is Benichusa, Rashi tells us. Whenever Vahatanya is, usually Vahatanya, whenever a new statement starts with a Vav, it's almost always a question. Sometimes Vatanya is Benichusa, it comes as a support. Rashi, I think, will always, and he will always tell you when it comes as a support. It'll either say Benichusa, which means not a question, it means read it in Benachas regularly, or sometimes he'll say Mesaye, it's going to support it. So this Vahatan is meant to support what we just said, namely, Medalgim B'Torah B'din Echad. You're allowed to skip in the Torah within one topic. U'benavi B'shnei Anyanim. And Navi, you're allowed to skip between two different topics. In both cases, when you are allowed to skip, it has to be a situation where you get to the next spot before the Meturgaman stops interpreting. Tani Idach, there's another Brisa that says, Ein Medalgim Navi L'Navi. You're not allowed to skip from one Navi to the next. You can't skip from Yeshua to Melachim, or to Shoftim, or to Yirmiyahu, or to Yishai. You can't skip from one Sefer to the next Sefer. U'benavi shel Shneimasar, right? Treasar, we call it Shneimasar, Treasar, same thing. And that you're allowed to medalik. It's considered, even though it's 12 separate Sfarim, it's viewed as one big Sefer. You're allowed to skip from one to the next. U'bilvad shel yidalik misofa Sefer l'tchilasar. So long as you don't go from the beginning, the first Sefer of Treasar, to the last one of Treasar. And now Rashi says, it's actually from Misof L'Tchilas, so you can't go from the back to the forward. Rashi says, L'mafreya. So you're allowed to go from forward to back, but you can't go backwards. So seemingly that would be the same halacha with the other Nevi'im also, maybe. I'm not sure. Okay, then the Mishnah says, Maftir ben Navi who beporis al Shema. The one who does Maftir, now Rashi points out, it can't be the one who actually did have Torah, and then the guy does Poris al Shema, because Poris al Shema, which is Baruch Hu, takes place before Haftorah. So how do you know who's going to get Haftorah? It hasn't happened yet. So what Rashi says is, Misha Ragil Lahafti B'Navi, a person who regularly does the Navi, he's the one who does the Baruch Hu, he does the Poris Al Shema. And also, who over Al Lefnei Teva, he's also the one who's going to lead Shemana Esrei. Who knows, says Kabbav, he's the one who's going to do Birkas Kohanim. Vimhaya Katan, but if the guy who does Haftorah is a Katan, so then he can't do all the other things. Rather, the Aviv, O Rabbo, over now Yado, his father or his Rebbe will do the Birkas Kohanim, will do Paras Al Shema, will do over Lifnei Ateva. Then the Mishnah says, Katan Kare Bitar Umitargim. A Katan is allowed to be a Bal Kare, he's also allowed to be the Meturgaman. Aval ena paris al shema, but he's not allowed to do baruchu. Veinu over lefnei ateva, he can't lead the tzibur in shliach in chazaras hashatz. Veinu knows his kabav, he can't lead them in birkas kohanim. So then the Mishnah says pocheach. What's pocheach? Rashi tells us is a person whose knees are showing. Either means a guy wearing shorts, or maybe there are holes in the pants, but his knees are showing; they're exposed. So the pocheach, he can be paris al shema, and Mitargim. He goes to do the Mitargim. Aval eino kare b'tor, but he's not allowed to be a bal kare. Ve'eino over lefnei ateva, he can't lead the tzibur and shemana esrei. Ve'eino noses kabav, he can't do birkas kohanim either. Suma, a person who's blind, poris as hashma, he's allowed to do shema, even though we say the bracha maros, which yotza maros, which just talks about the light, the hana we get from the light, which obviously a suma can't get, he's still allowed to do that, the Tanakhama holds. He can still say poris as hashma. Umetargim, he goes to do metargimim. Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer lo, rather kol shelo ra meoros miyamav ain't a paris al hashma. If he's a person who was born blind, since he never got any hana from the light, he's not allowed to do paris al hashma. If he was born being able to see and lost his eyesight at some point later on in life, then he would be able to, according to Rabbi Yehuda.
The paris al hashma is not the shliach
tzibur? The paris, I think they must have broken it up as one guy doing baruchu and one guy doing Chazar Sashats. That's how I'm understanding it. I'm not sure if that's really true. But Poris HaShema refers to the Brachos of Shema. And they must have split it up.
Why by Yotzer Amos are we saying that the only Hanah implicitly is vision?
Right.
There's tremendous Hanah from the sun.
Right. So to go, the Gemara ends up, it will explain, that's the reason of Tanakhama, that the Summa gets Hana from the very fact that the guy is going to be able to tell him where to walk, where not to walk. He also gets Hana. But that's still a Hana of vision, not Hana of any heat. That's a good point. I'm not sure why.
There's heat, there's plant, there's everything, you know.
Right, everything else. I guess those are not considered, heat is considered direct, though. It's a very good question. I don't know.
So what did they do? Baruch Hu, or is this, they did Shema, and then he did Shemon Esrei?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And a different chazan was for Shemon Esrei.
That's what it sounds like from here. That's what it seems, yeah.
We don't do this. There's no. Are there any
aides
that do?
No, because they all say the one who does Paras Al Shema does Shemona Esrei as well. It's viewed as separate sections, but all the sections are saying here, whoever does one is supposed to do the other anyway. So that's Lamaisa, we're doing the same thing. But But we never really viewed it as...
No,
the Baruch Hu, I'm saying. We do the same Chazan does Baruch Hu as Shmoneh Esrei. That's what he says. The Mafti, the guy who normally does Navi, he should Paris al Shema, and he should also do the Shmoneh Esrei as well.
What exactly is Paris al Shema?
It's a big Machlokes Rishonim. It's very complicated, but just for our purposes, let's just say it's Baruch Hu. Yeah, exactly. It's a big... There's a Siman Shulchan Aruch about this. It's not really no get. Sfarim actually do something like this. They'll come in late for Shmoneh Esrei, for Marv, and they'll do get 10 people together, they'll do Baruch Hu, and they'll do the Brachos, and start Shmoneh Esrei. Ashkenazim don't do this, but the Sephardim do have such a custom to...
come later, they make a new...
For Marv.
They say Baruch at the end.
Right, no, so some Sephardim will make you stay and do a whole thing of Baruch Hu and say for the Brachos and Shmoneh Esrei. I've seen this before, but that's not the minhag of the Ashkenazim. Perhaps not even most Sephardim. Maybe they don't do it either. Either way, there's a Siman Shulchan Aruch about this. Big Machlokas, what exactly this means. So the Gemara now says, it happens to be a very interesting Tosas on the bottom here. We're not going to do it though, but Mishalo is a very interesting one. Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, Okay, so the Gemara says the my time. What's the reason why we say that the person who does maftir should do paris al hashma? He should olaf fnei ateva. But Papa explains amar mishum kavod. It's because of kavod. What's the kavod? So Rashi says mishum kavod lahavir lefnei ateva to get him, let him be the chazan for Shmoneh Esrei. Hol mamsi atzmo ladavar sheinu kvodo tiknu lo zo lekavod. Getting maftir, who wants maftir? That's not so covetic to get maftir. So since the guy's willing to take something less, we'll give him something more chashu, we'll give him the Shmoneh Esrei spot. That's Rav Papa's understanding. Rabba bar simi amar mishum de asilin tsuye. No, because it's going to lead to fighting. So if the guy says, I'm maftir, and the other guy's going to say, I did maftir, you should do Shmoneh Esrei. If you're going to fight, who's going to do this? So we say, no, let's just keep to the one chazan. Let's have one chazan do everything. This way you avoid any fighting. So the Gemara says, my nafkam, why benai? What's the nafkamina between these two answers? Ika benayu du'avid bechinim. They did bechinim. What does that mean, bechinim? So Rashi explains, the ka'avid bechinim habal la'avur lefnei ateva eino notaschar. If the guy, apparently, when the guy would daven for the amid, he would get paid for it. So if you lived in a place, so they want to fight, who's going to get the money? So the guy who gets maftir doesn't get paid. The guy who davens Shmoneh Esrei does get paid. So they're going to start fighting who's going to get the Shmoneh Esrei. So we said whoever gets maftir, who's willing to do maftir, he'll get Shmoneh Esrei as well. But let's say in a place where they don't take money on Shmoneh Esrei, then nobody's going to fight then. There's not going to be any fighting. So therefore, we could let somebody else do Shmoneh Esrei. But there's still a concern of the kavod aspect that since a guy took the lo chashiva, a non-chashiva position of the maftir, then we would give him Shmoneh Esrei because of the kavod. That's the nafkamina. So the Gemara says, Tanan, the Mishnah says, Vim haya katan aviv or rabo over nal yado. If he's a katan, the guy who does maftir, so then since he's not old enough to do Shmoneh Esrei and paris al shema, we should let his father or his rebbe do it. So the Gemara explains, wait a second. Mishum nitsuye katan bar nitsuye. If it's because of fighting, so we could see the katan getting to a fight, so therefore we let it stay in the family.
It's a question. Katan bar nitsuye who?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. If it's because of Nitsuya, is a katan going to be fighting at all about this? So if it's a katan who did it, let somebody else daven Shmoneh Esrei. We're not going to be concerned that a katan's going to start a fight. So how can we say that it should stay in the family, that either his father or Rebbe should do this? A katan would be Mamochel. He doesn't really care so much. If he did maftir, he doesn't care who gets the next thing. But Elamai, so therefore must be Mishum Kavod. So we say it must be because Kavod. Is that really the reason, because of Kavod? So katan bar kavod who? Wait a second. Is a katan someone who's subject to getting honor? He doesn't care about his kavod. He's too young to care about his own pride. Or maybe he thinks he doesn't know what pride even means. So who really cares about this? So this makes sense why when the katan does it, according to both reasons, why we have to keep it in the family, that either the father or the rebbe has to do the next thing. So Gemara says, Ella, ika kavod aviv the kavod rabo. No. There is still the kavod of the father and the kavod of the rebbe. It's also some respect that it should keep it in the family, related somehow shayachas to the katan. So too, hachanami ika nitsuye aviv nitsuye rabo. There's also a concern of the katan. If my katan got maftir, I want to take the money. I want to be the chazan for Shmoneh Esrei. So that too, for that same reason, we should keep it in the family to either the father or the rebbe do the Shmoneh Esrei. So both reasons make sense with why when a katan does maftir, you should let the father or the rebbe do the paris al hashma and over lefnei ateva. Gemara says pocheach paris al hashma. The guy who's wearing shorts can do paris al hashma. So asks the Gemara, boy minei ula bar rav meabai. He has to buy katan pocheach mahu. Let's say the guy, it's a minor, it's a younger kid who's wearing shorts mahu. Is he allowed to do this? We said before a katan is not allowed to do paris al hashma. But a pekech can. So mao sheyikra b'torah. So before we said that a katan can do kriyas haTorah, Rabbi Paskin, he can. right? But we said a pocheach is not allowed to. So let's say he's a katan, a pocheach. He's one, you know, one positive, one negative. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Amar le, v'tibar lecha arum. So we ask about arum. What about a guy who's not clothed at all? Arum, my time alone. Why can a guy who's not properly dressed, or not dressed at all, why can't he lane? Mishum kavod tzibur. It's not proper for the tzibur. Hachanami, mishum kavod tzibur. Here too, also, it's not covered at tzibur. Regardless of his age, it's not covered at tzibur for someone to step up there and wear shorts. So therefore, if a katan, let's say, walks into shul, he's wearing shorts, he could stay, he could daven. There's no problem with him davening with shorts on, but for him to get, let's say, galila or psicha, something that he would normally allow to do, would be inappropriate to give someone wearing shorts, because it's not covered at tzibur to be dressed that way and to represent the tzibur. Gemara says, Summa parish al shema. We had the machlokas, if a summa is allowed to do the bircha shema or not, because it says yotza ma'oros, and he can't get a hana from the light. So Rabbi Huda says Rather, Tanakhama says he's allowed to. Rabbi Huda says he's only allowed to if he was born able to see. But if he was never able to see, then he's not allowed to. So Tani, the Brisa says, Amrulo, Rabbi Huda, the Chachamim said to Rabbi Huda, Harbe tafulu josh b'merkava. Many people wanted to see, to envision the Merkava, the Maisa Merkava of Yechezkel. V'lo ra'o osam yamem, and they didn't see it. So what's he trying to say there? Even though they don't see it, they're still out to darshan it. Just because you can't see it, just because a sumo can't see it, doesn't mean you can't say the brachas of Yotzei Amaros. Of course you can.
Yeah, but one is a physical thing that everybody's going to see the Yotzei Amaros, and one is a vision of Yechezkel. First of all, he was only hit a sword, and second of all, it's a ruchnistic thing, even if you understand it.
No, but it's viewed as, it's still a vision. It's a vision you see. It's not the typical vision, but in your mind, whatever it means, you close your eyes and you imagine you could see somehow if you get to that level. But the Gemara gives another, Rabbi Huda at least gives a different chiluk. Rabbi Huda hasam bavnasa deliba talya milsa. There it all depends on a person's kavanah. It might be what you're trying to say. It's all about in his lave, what he sees in his lave, in his mind, in his imagination, whatever he's able to create. It's not about real seeing. V'haka mechavein, and he's having kavanah v'yada, and he knows what he's seeing. So it all, if a person's able to have the kavanah, so then he's seeing it. Even though he can't physically see it, he's somehow in that world. As opposed to hacha, here it's all about Mishum Hana. V'hal lesle Hana. The Summa can't get Hana. He can't see the sun. Rabbanan says, no, not true. I agree that's all about Hana you hear it well, as well. But Isle Hana, there is Hana even for a Summa. What's the Hana? Ki Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, called Yomai Ha'isi Mitzar Al Mikrazeh. All my years, all my days, I was very troubled by the following Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'ayisa Mimashish Betzarayim Kashay Mashish Ha'iver Bafela. And you were trying to kind of moving your hands in the afternoon as a blind person does in the darkness. Gemara says, why do they say an iver in the afelin darkness? It's all darkness to him. It should be mashita iver, just stam. He's always trying to figure out where he is. Gemara says, ad sheba maisa liyadi, until one time I saw the following maisa. Pam achas ha'isi mahalach b'ishon laila, I was walking, it was very dark out. Va'afela. And it was very, very misty. I don't know how they say it. A deep darkness, foggy. And Ra'isi Suma, I saw a blind person, Shaya Mahalach, but there he's walking. Vavuka Biyada, and he's holding a lantern. Very strange. Amartila, I says, Bani, Avuka Zu Lamalacha. I see you can't see. Well, why are you carrying an Avuka? Amarli, Kozman Shavuka Biyadi, as long as I'm holding on to this lantern, Bnei Adam Ro'ano, see, they tell me, in Matzilin Osim, in Apchasin, in Akotzin, in Abrakarnim, they protect me from the different pits and the thorns and whatever else dangers that are in front of me, it protects me. So we see that he also gets Hana from light from other people protecting him. So therefore, Tanakama Paskind, that Asuma can in fact say the bracha of Yotze Hamaros. New Mishnah tells us now, Kohen Sheyesh Biyadav Mumen Lo Yisas Kapav. If the Kohen has certain blemishes on his hand, he's not allowed to do Pirkas Kohanim because we're concerned that people are going to start staring at it. So what's the issue with that? So Rashi explains, the end of Chagiga tells us that the Mestakil B'Kohanim B'Shas Nos Neskapem Enos Kaos. Your eyes get dim. You lose your eyesight if you stare at the Kohanim. That's why we nowadays, the Kohanim cover the hands with the talus. And that's why we don't look. We're supposed to look down at the same time. So therefore, but if there are blemishes there, it's going to get a person curious to see what's going on. He's going to look up at during Birkas Kohanim, and therefore that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, well, why is it only like that? Isn't all the aspect of that Hashem Shekhinah is like on something that's not 100% pure?
Why would it work, you're saying?
Yeah, because even if it's not 100% pure, why would it?
So it's a very, very good question. So there's a whole, the Pasuk tells us in Emor that a Baal Mum is not allowed to do avoda. He can't do avodah, and certain bali mum cannot do birkas kohanim either. This is not a mum that would disqualify a kohen from the avodah. And what he means by a mum here, it means just something a little bit different. Something in the hand, the finger might be in a different position or something that would just draw attention towards it, but not necessarily disqualify him from doing the birkas kohanim. Very good question, though. Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af misha hayu yadav tzuos. Even a person whose hands colored, it was dyed, and he got ink or marker on it, that too would be prohibited because that's going to draw the attention of the people. A satis lo yisas kabav mipnesha am mistaklimbo. What's a satis? So Rashi tells us satis is a person whose Rashi doesn't tell us anything here. Let's see, what's a satis?
Rashi in the Gemara.
Rashi in the Gemara will tell us, okay. Let's see, here we go. Oh, that doesn't help us much, though. A krug. I think it's crooked. I think his fingers are crooked. Is that what they say in English?
I'm not able to go like that.
They can't separate it, that's what it means? Let's see.
In the bottom, they go.
Oh, Bisa'a. It says, Satis, it said, it's part of the statement. Rabbi Huda says, Af Misha Yu Yadav Tzvos Bisa'a Satis, a person whose hands are colored red, Lo Yisa's cup of Mipnei Sha'am Mistaklimba. That's part of all one statement. The Gemara says, Tana Mumin Shamru Bifanov Yadav Raglav, the Mumin that we spoke of in the Mishnah, that the Kohen can't perform Birkas Kohanim if he has a Mum, that doesn't only refer to Mumin on his fingers, even if it's on his legs, because he's going barefoot, even on his face. Anything that's going to attract the audience will be prohibited to go up to the Duchening. Amar Bishua Ben Levi Yadav Buakanius Lo Yisas Kapav, a guy whose hands are bent in different directions. I think that's what it means here. Let's see, Rashi says Lointaish. I don't know French still. Spotted, okay. So if the hands are spotted, that's also going to draw the attention. Such a coin is not allowed to do duchening. Tanin Nami Hachi, the Brisa says, Yadav Buhokani also lo yisas kapav. If they are akumos, akushos lo yisas kapav. These mean if they're bent. They're bent in different directions. Rashi's akumos are kfufos. They're bent downwards. Akushos mean they're litside, and they're bent to the sides, off to the sides. Those two will attract the attention, and therefore they're not allowed to do birkas kohanim. Amr Biasi Chifani Lo Yisas Kabav. What's a Chifani? So Rashi explains. Does he explain? No.
They would switch the ayin and the aleph.
Okay, that's what the Gemara's about to say. Okay, the ayins and the alephs. Okay, so the Gemara says, let's keep reading then. So Anshe, again, Chifani Lo Yisas Kabav from Aha. So as you see, Tanya, Nami Hachi, Ein Maridin Lefnei Ateva, Lo Anshe Beis Shan, Lo Anshe Beis Chaifav, Lo Anshe Tivonim, all these different places. Bipnei Shekorin La'alfin Ainin, La'ainin Alfin. We say everything as an Aleph, but they switch the Ayins and Alephs, and the Alephs as the Ayins. There's once a correspondence between Rav Vadi Yosef and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, very apropos for this week, Parsha Zohar. So Rav Chaim said, maybe for this parsha, since it's a Taraisa, according to many opinions, maybe you should have your the Sephardi Chevra read Oz and Az. Pasach and Kamat is different. It's not all Az. Kamat is Oz and Pasach is A. Maybe for this one parsha, you should really read it correctly. So he says, maybe you guys should read it correctly also and do the Ayins and the Alves separately also. When you guys start fixing that, we'll fix the Kamats and the Pasachs. So anyway, so Gemara says, Vayter Amalei Rabbi Chir, Le Rabbi Shimon, Barat Rabbi, Il male ata levi pasal ata minaduchen mishim dava kalcha. So Rabbi Chia seemingly insulted Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. He said, had you not been a levi, meaning had you been a kohen, rather had you been a levi, then you would have been pasal because your voice is so thick. The levim, the Mishnah Chulin tells us that the psul, when it comes to the levim, the psul has to do with the voice because they sang. If you were, some levim were gatekeepers, other levim were singers. So if you were a singer and your voice was very, very deep, then that would be considered a psul. So he says Amar Le Lavua. So he says go tell your father. I think he says, yeah. Right?
He went and told his father.
So I guess Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi told his father Rabbi. So Amar Le. So Rabbi says to his son Rabbi Shimon, Amar Le Zil Emale. Go tell him. Tell him when he reaches the pasuk Chakisi. And he's not going to turn out, he's going to be blasphemizing Hashem, because he's going to read it as Hayikisi, that I hit Hashem, which is incorrect, because apparently he couldn't pronounce his cheses. He said Hey, he said Hikisi Hashem. So that was his retort back. Sounds similar to Rav Chaim and Rav Avadia's correspondence. Amar Rav Huna, Zvalgan Loisas Kapav. What's a Zvalgan? I think it means he's always tears dripping from his eyes. Mm-hmm. Rashi says it? Okay. So that's halacha. And then the Gemara says, but wait a second, so the Rav Huna, there's once such an individual who was always having tears dripping from his eyes, and he did duchening. Gemara says that case was different because everyone was used to him. No one was staring during Birkas Kohanim. He was always around. People were used to seeing his eyes let out these tears. So no one was going to be attracted, staring at his hand or his face during Birkas Kohanim. Tani Nami Hachi, the Brisa says the same thing. Zavalgan Loisa Ashkabav Vim Hayadash Biro. If he was, people were used to seeing him, then Mutter, he's allowed to do Birkas Kohanim. Amr Bi Yochanan Suma Ba'achas Me'erav. A person's blind in only one eye, he's also Loisa Ashkabav. He's not allowed to. V'ha'ahu d'hava b'shivusa the Rabbi Yochanan d'hava paris yadev? Wasn't this once a case where a person was blind in one eye and Rabbi Yochanan permitted him to do Birkas Kohanim? Gemara answers the same thing. Ha'ahu dash b'irohava. Everyone was comfortable, everyone was used to seeing him, so that wouldn't attract any eyes during Birkas Kohanim. Then they bring a brisa to prove this. Tani nam yahachi. Suma ba'achas meinav lo'isa ashkabav vim haya dash b'irohava mutter. If he was, everyone was used to seeing him there, then one would be permitted to do Birkas Kohanim. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishaya Yadav Tzvos Loisas Kabav. If a person's hand was colored, was dyed, had marker all over it, he would not be allowed to do Birkas Kohanim because that would attract the attention of the audience. The Gemara quotes a Braisa, Tana Im Rov Anshayir, Melachtan Bekach Mutter. If everyone was involved in dyeing things, everyone's hands and fingers were all colored, then there wouldn't be an issue because that would be similar to Dash Biro. Everyone would be used to that and wouldn't attract anyone to stare during Birkas Kohanim. Mishnah says, "Haomer eni over lufnei ateva b'tzvun." A guy says, I'm not leading the tzibor wearing colored clothing. I'm only wearing white shirts. That's all I'm doing. White shirts, white clothing. So af b'levenim lo yavor, even going in white clothing, he's not allowed to go. Why? Because that was apparently the way the minim, only the minim, the over the avodah zara, Abikorsin would say such a thing. Gemara will explain this, that I only serve Hashem in white clothing. Then the Mishnah says, a guy says, lo yavor b'sand, I'm not going to wear sandals. I'm not wearing sandals to daven for the Amid. Ain't over af yach if you can't even go barefoot. So the problem is here, barefoot, you're not allowed to daven barefoot unless you're in Avil. Unless you're certain places. The Gemara talks about certain places where they used to go that way. Maybe it's referring to those types of places. Let's see. They don't address it down here. Okay.
References a place
with yeah. Oh, they do? Okay. And the article there? Or who does? I see. Okay, I ain't told Shabbos Yud. Okay, wonder if it addresses it there. Okay, I'm not sure. The lach is you're not supposed to daven barefoot unless one's in Avil. But okay, I'm not sure. The Gemara says lo yavor af yachiv lo yavor haoset tfilaso agula. The guy makes his tefillin agula as a round. It's supposed to be square, as we know, but he makes it round. It's a sakana. It's dangerous for him because the position of the tefillin is a very sensitive spot of the rosh, and it could go right in to the head. Rachman al-Etzlan. And vein ba mitzvah is also not a mitzvah because it's against the halacha. It has to be square. That's halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Nasal metzcha, a guy places the tefillin on his forehead. Oh, I'll pass the other. Placing this on his hand, the tefillin. Hareza derech haminus. That's apikorsis. That's minus to do that. You're obviously not yotze the mitzvah. If tipan zav, a guy he covers his tefillin in a layer of gold. Venasa. A base on kali, he placed on the base on kali, which Rashi says, a base yad levusha mibuchot, he placed on top of his shirt. Shelo, hareza derech achitonim. This is a very external, that's a very superficial type of way of serving Hashem, and one should not do this. But Rashi explains what it means is, chitonim is bnei adam haholchim achrei daitam chutz midas chachamim. People who just do whatever they want, they make their own decisions, they're independent thinkers. That's what we mean by chitonim, that person just created their own mitzvahs, their own halachas. Gemara finally says, my time, what's the reason why we said that you cannot wear, the person who says, I'm not wearing tefonim, I'm not wearing colored clothing, I'm only wearing white clothing when I daven for the Amud, we don't let him daven even in white clothing? Because Chashin and Shem and Minos and Nizrakabo, maybe we're concerned, perhaps he became off the derech and became Minos, because Rashi explains that Haminim of the Avodah Zarah, Makpidim Akach, the priests were very makpid to only wear white, so if a person said, I'm only wearing white, we're concerned, maybe he fell into that trap. Gemara says further, "Haoset tefilaso agula sakana veinbo mitzvah." The guy makes his tefillin round. Not only is it a sakana, but it's also not a mitzvah. Leima tanina laha. Maybe this is if we have this mishnah. It's repeated elsewhere in a different mishnah. The Tana Rabbanan tefillin merubal halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That the tefillin has to be square. That's a halacha Moshe Mitzinai that we have. V'amar Rava v'tafrin b'lachsonam. When it comes to the way you sew it and the way Rashi explains, Kishu tofer beis ha-moshavan tzarech lizar shalo yikalka ribun v'mishichas chod ha-tfir. When you pull the strand, you have to make sure not to pull it too tight. Otherwise, if it's ours, probably won't happen. Ours are too hard. But if they were, let's say, a softer pair of tefillin, if you pull the thread too tight, it's going to ruin the symmetry of the square. And also, in terms of the actual square, it has to be, Rashi explains, v'tzarech shehei lahen al-hachson, which means literally a diagonal, kilchasa, which means really, b'mruba shetei etzba b'rochav borach. It has to be a square. Not a rectangle, it has to be a square.
A cube.
But he's talking about the square part of things, I think.
No, but
the
al-hachson part,
no,
it has to be equidistant.
Right, but I think he's referring to the surface, the area, as opposed to the cube. Orech and Rochav is only the width and the length. But you're right, because the bottom part doesn't have to be a cube. The bottom box. The top box is, but the base does not have to be a cube. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, so we have two Mishnahs teaching the same thing. It has to be square. Amar Rav Papa, Masnisin Davida, Ki Amguza. What does that mean? Rashi explains, Ki Amguza, Agulos Kaagos, Gagos, it was a circular like a nut. If it was more of an oval, like an egg, uchadosh, like a lentil, shapir dami, that's good. So you might think the Mishnah, only if it says a circular is a problem. So that's a problem. Maybe if I made it oval, that would be good. We learn from the other brayse, that has to, that dafka, be square. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a good evening. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.